Another debate over government authority over Americans has roots in the 1970s. At issue in the Supreme Court today, who has the power to act on issues of controlling environmental hazards? Is Congress the supreme authority or the Environmental Protection Agency created by Congress back in the 1970s? 4 years ago, the EPA declared that it had the power to regulate carbon dioxide because of the scientific consensus over its role in contributing to global warming. It was a declaration of war to some members of Congress, a war on Congress.
Families and workers in my state don't want to see the lost jobs, the higher energy costs that EPA's big government takeover of carbon regulations would bring.
Whether or not Congress or unelected bureaucrats at the EPA should set climate policy for this country.
We believe that is our job.
And the cost of this Washington power grab by the EPA, American jobs, plain and simple.
And agencies realize they can't overreach.
Collection of Republican lawmakers there speaking a few years back when the EPA said it could regulate carbon. Today, one aspect of the growing power of the EPA is being challenged before the court, the so-called Good Neighbor provision of the Clean Air Act that permits the EPA to enforce state-to-state pollution controls. The federal government can intervene with states that contribute to the pollution of their downwind neighbors. Joining us to talk about all of this is Jeff Holmstead, former assistant administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency under George W. Bush, now an attorney with the firm Bracewell and Giuliani. Mr. Holmstead, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Mr. Holmstead, as a former Bush administration official, can you explain to me how the EPA under the Bush administration is different or similar to the EPA under the Obama administration?
Well, both the Bush EPA and the Obama EPA are implementing the same laws. And during the Bush administration, air quality continued to improve. And so I can say in terms of environmental protection, both administrations take the Clean Air Act very seriously. I think it is fair to say that the Obama administration has been much more aggressive in using the Clean Air Act to target coal-fired power plants.
Before we talk about coal-fired power plants, what do you make of this challenge of the good neighbor provision? There has to be a way to regulate state-to-state emissions because of the way the winds blow, right?
Oh, I think there's no question about that. Air pollution crosses state lines, and really almost all states contribute to some degree to air quality in nearby states. The question really is how aggressive EPA can be in doing that. And in this particular case, EPA really usurped the role that states have traditionally had by going in and regulating companies directly, and also regulating really far beyond what is justified based on air quality concerns. EPA took the view that it essentially could regulate as far as it deemed was reasonable without really considering the impact that one state has on the other. So I think there's agreement that EPA can step in to deal with what's called cross-state air pollution. But the question here is whether they went too far.
Now, what is too far? Because is this a constitutional question? Is that what takes precedence here? States should have the rights to regulate their own internal industries. Or is there an overriding concern about the environment, which affects every one of us?
It's actually much narrower than that. It simply has to do with whether EPA properly interpreted certain provisions of the Clean Air Act. A lot of people, I think, really don't understand that EPA is limited. EPA doesn't have independent authority. It can only implement statutory provisions that have been adopted by Congress. Now, EPA can be creative in interpreting those provisions, and that's what EPA has done with the carbon regulations. I think everyone agrees that Congress didn't intend EPA to use the Clean Air Act to regulate carbon dioxide.
Although Congress had no idea that global warming was on the horizon or that there would be a scientific consensus about carbon and global warming either.
No, I think that's true. But the question is, when a new issue like that emerges, can EPA take it upon itself, or is it in the first instance up to Congress and the president to come up with the right approach for dealing with that?
Do you think there's a legal battle brewing this year and over the next few years between Congress and the EPA that will be played out in the U.S. Supreme Court?
I don't know if the big cases over carbon dioxide and carbon pollution will be heard this year or even next year. EPA has embarked on a fairly aggressive regulatory program, but even so, it takes a while for EPA to develop these rules and then for those rules to wend their way through the court. So we will be seeing these battles at some point, but probably not for a year or two.
Can I ask you a philosophical question, Jeff Homestead?
Sure.
You know, we've seen this hour in this program a discussion of just how controversial the question of whether national security trumps the Constitution, the issue of the NSA surveillance. We also, down through history, have had a debate over whether equal rights and racial equality trumps sort of state-to-state provisions about enforcement of laws. In the case of national security, we're unclear as to what happens. In the case of racial equality, the federal government does have authority over the states. We're just beginning to deal with this in terms of the environment. Do you see a theme here?
Well, I'm not sure I really tie it to national security, but there is an understanding that many environmental issues really are local issues. If you're talking about waste disposal, for example, there's really not much of an argument that the disposal of waste has environmental impacts beyond the immediate community. However, on some of these other issues, and air pollution is the classic example, what happens in one state can impact another state. And the way our laws are set up does allow the federal government to deal with that. But there are likely to be continuing controversies over really how far the government can go and the role of states versus the role of EPA.
And we're seeing that played out today in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Jeff Homestead, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Jeff Homestead is a former assistant administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency, now an attorney with the firm Bracewell and Giuliani in Washington. So as the world says goodbye to Nelson Mandela, his memorial service in South Africa, what is your tribute?
This is Carissa Terranova in Dallas, Texas. We're going to carry on the generosity and goodwill and brilliant philosophies of Nelson Mandela. I think we would want to focus our energy in the United States on poverty. I read a statistic today that 1 in 5 children in America are in poverty, and we are almost the highest in the developed world at this rate. I think this is a problem, and we need to fix it.
Our focus on poverty later this hour, but call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.